You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
This is the William Hill Golf Podcast. Go to news.williamhill.com for all the podcasts or search William Hill Radio on iTunes.
Hello everyone, a very warm welcome along to the latest edition of the William Hill Golf Podcast. Good to have your company, Dave Kellner and Dave Tindall here and with you, ready to rock and roll ahead of one of the best weeks of golf of the season, with the culmination of the FedEx Cup Series, the Tour Championship on the agenda, and we have the Portugal Masters as well. First of all, it's a warm welcome to my compadre here in the studio, Dave Tindall. Hello, welcome, good afternoon. Are you well? Are you physically fit? Are you ready and raring to go?
Hello and welcome back, Dave. Yes, all those things. David Frost introducing me there. Hello.
I'm looking forward to this week. It should be good. We've got the final event of the FedEx Cup Series. We've got the Portugal Masters as well, which should provide plenty of birdies. And we saw a good winner last week as well in Ashun Wu, who I saw on Twitter a few people had backed Ashun Wu, having finished sixth the previous week. And now a three-time winner on the European Tour as well, Ashun Wu, which sort of a little bit under the radar, I suppose.
Yeah, as often the case with kind of the Asian players, they are maybe not respected in the market enough. And it's not like those other two wins were way back. They were fairly, was it 2014 and 15, I think?
15 and 16, I think.
Right. So, yeah, he'd been there and done it before. So on that final day, I thought he had every chance. We started the week well, took the first round lead and never went away. And then on that final day, he came on strong at the end. I'd seen Chris Wood interviewed on the Saturday, and Chris Wood saying he's kind of trying to implement new swings, a new swing. I thought, this doesn't sound well.
I think he always says that, though, doesn't he? I'm sure he's said that before when he's been in contention, Chris Wood.
I think he's sort of trying to take the heat off himself.
A little bit.
Well, I think, he is trying to change his swing. And to be honest, I thought he might fade away. You know, new swing under pressure final round, that might be the time to catch him out. But he kept going to the end, and in the end, it was a three-putt that did for him. So, yep. Ashun Wu, well done.
And he made finished in style, didn't he? Three birdies in his last five holes to claim the KLM Open. That brings us on to this week. We've got the Portugal Masters first up on the European Tour, and the betting is wide open, 18-1 the field. Torbjörn Olesen, Chris Wood, Lukas Biergaard, Shane Lowry, all at the top of the betting at 18s. Charles Schwartzel, Eddie Pepperell, Sergio Garcia, all 20-1, Andy Sullivan 25s, along with Thomas Dietrich, and it's 28-1 and bigger the rest. This is a bit of a birdie fest, Dave. Five of the last nine winners have recorded scores of 20 under par or better over the 4 days. And a couple of years ago, Padraig Harrington won with a tournament record of 25 under. And when Alexander Levy won, that was the tournament that was reduced that year to 36 holes, and he still shot 18 under over the two rounds, which is simply sensational. I want to start with Sergio Garcia here, because he's looking to find a little bit of form in the lead up to the Ryder Cup next week. Do you think it's wise that he's decided to schedule in the Portugal Masters?
Yeah, you presume he might pop home as well to Spain while he's over that way. He never played this before, but I think it's the perfect opportunity for him just to sort of go to a course that's pretty easy overall and just shake the rust off, hone the game a little bit, make some birdies, feel good. You don't want him going somewhere where it's impossible. He's going to shoot seven over and miss the cut. I think here he's got the chance. So his price is interesting. Are there really... What sort of world do we live in now where Lukas Biergaard is shorter than him in the betting? That's strange, isn't it? What odds would you put on that happening ever in the European Tour?
It'd have been a long price at the start of the season, wouldn't it, I suppose? But there are...
Obvious reasons.
But
even so, you think Sergio...
Do you fancy him this week, then?
Not particularly, but I think he can potter along and finish sort of seventh or something like that.
A bit of information about the course. It's an Arnold Palmer design, this one. It's the Dom Pedro Victoria Golf Course. I hosted this championship since 2007. It is a resort course. Measures just over 7,100 yards. It might be the least challenging golf course on tour, particularly off the tee. You won't see fairways this wide in many tournaments on the tour, both PGA and European Tour. It is a... Oh, they can just feast on this, can't they, these players?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's in the Algarve, isn't it? In Villamore in the Algarve, which is where all British golfers go to get some winter sun.
Yeah.
So that's its, you know, main job, isn't it, to cater for those players. So when the pros come over, it's easy pickings, isn't it?
It's a doddle. Yeah. It's a doddle. I quite like it from a betting perspective this week. I've got a couple of picks.
Yeah, I've got one and one in the first round market.
Okay, shall I lead off then?
Yeah, you go.
I'm going with a couple of big prices this week, and we'll start with what a class is the headline selection. Pechara Kongwot Mai is the selection for me, 80-1. He just seems like a good fit, the Thai, this week, as far as I'm concerned. And I thought it was an attractive price at 80s.
Yeah, he's got some really good recent form that had kind of gone under the radar a bit.
Yeah.
People might think of him as that guy who got to the final of the World Super 6 in Perth and then vanished off the face of the earth. But he hasn't vanished off the face of the earth, has he?
He's sort of a youngster that's got a really good game, but it's one of those where he's had some spells where he's not performed that well.
Yeah.
And I think he's that sort of price at 80-1 because he had a horrible round last week in the Dutch. 79 in his second round to miss the cut, but he'd opened with a 67, and I'm always willing to forgive one bad round as an aberration because
I'd rather that than a sort of pair of 74s or something.
I think I would as well. Yeah, and it comes in the middle of an outstanding run of form in which he's in the past couple of months in which he's finished tied for 9th in the Czech, tied for 12th at the Made in Denmark, and 8th place in the mountains in Switzerland as well. Mm. So he couldn't have better form in the lead-up to last week. If that 79 is an aberration, and say he'd made the cut and finished 20th there, it'd be 50-1 in this field, in my opinion. And he's one of the strongest putters on tour this season. You're going to need to make loads of birdies this week. And on the top of that, he's got course form at Villamora as well. Finished 12th last season in his first start in the Portugal Masters. I just think he's a talented youngster that could easily outrun his odds at 80-1.
Yeah, I totally agree, yeah.
Yeah.
I think if his name was Peter Edward, one has to. You know what I'm trying to say?
Yeah, I know what you're
Peter
trying to
Smith
say.
Peter Smith from England, the new young talent.
Yeah, precisely.
40s or something.
Absolutely. I agree with you. Your headline selection or your only selection here?
Yeah, Jorge Campillo.
All right, okay. 50-1.
50-1. I mean, earlier this season, I would argue he was one of the European Tour's absolutely, you know, star players.
It definitely was.
In this kind of level. Just seemed to be racking up top five after top five. I think it was six top fives he had in the space of no time, another top 10 there as well. And they just kept coming from February through to third at the Irish Open. And then because he's dipped a little bit after that, I think he's gone down. I mean, he could, in his pomp when he was piecing together a top five every week, he could be sort of 28s in this field.
Yep.
But now he's gone out to 50s. But if you look at his very latest form, I think he's about to sort of surge again. He's shot 65 on the way to an okay-ish finish in the European Masters. But then the KL Open last week, 369s and a 68 for tied 15th. That's a player sort of going in the right direction, but he hasn't quite blown his cover sort of thing. Mm. But I like that. Four consistent rounds. Good greens in reg figures last week. He's played this course a number of times, made the cut in his last five, and he's got top six in there as well in 2015. And he makes a lot of birdies. You look at the European stats, his particular stats, he's 14th in birdies per round. So I think he's got the perfect fit. And I just think that's kind of sweet spot where he's ready to come into form,
yep.
But his price is still as if he isn't. So I think this is where we cash in.
I like the angle. 50-1, Jorge Campillo is Dave's selection. I've got a 66-1 shot as my second pick. I'm going with Mikko Korhonen as my second selection here at 66-1. Whatever happens for the rest of his campaign, it's been a good season for Korhonen because he broke his duck in the shot clock Masters earlier on this season. But maybe there's another big performance coming from the Finn. He suffered with some, I think, expected letdown following his win, which he then followed with that tie for second in the BMW International Open. But he's just coming back into form now. He's made his last couple of cuts and he struck the ball well en route to a tie for 24th in the KLM last week. He loves this place as well. Three starts have yielded a ninth and a third, and I reckon he could perform above expectations again at this place, and I thought 66-1 was decent. So Mikko Korhonen, the Finn, is my second selection.
Yeah, very good. I've got another selection, but in a different market, a first-round leader.
Yep.
Another guy with a lot of good
course. He's 22-1 the field, by the way, in that particular market.
Right, yeah. He's got some good outright form here, ninth and fifth. This is Robert Rock I'm talking about.
Yes.
Ninth, 2015, fifth 2 years ago. So that's good. You look at his current form, it's kind of okay, but it doesn't really tell the whole story. It suggests he's playing quite well, but how did he get to those finishes? Did he finish fast and he was never in it? Did he? Well, the main sort of thread for him at the minute, he's making fast starts. So I thought, go to the first round leader market.
Yeah.
He's the same price there as is the outright. But if you look at his positions after round one and his last seven tournaments, we've got a first, two seconds, an eighth and an 18th. Well, he's not got that in his outright form, has he? So this is the market to play him in. He shot 63 to lead the Italian Open after day one. Shot 64 in the Scottish Open to be second after day one. Also second after the opening lap of the Irish Open. And then in more recently, eighth after day one in the made in Denmark. Actually missed a cut last week, but he was 18th after round one. So that highlights the fact that his actual finish position doesn't reflect the good starts he's making. So I thought...
It is bizarre that though, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't know what it is. I don't know whether he gets into sort of coach mode or he forgets. But he seems to start the tournament fresh and then just seem to get bogged down. But to be fair, he did finish sixth in the Nordea Masters, Robert Rock. So that is one good performance. But generally, it's his fast starts that have taken the eye. So I thought, why not just switch markets? I know there's more chance of a tie in these first-round leader markets, but his results, I just think they stand out for day one. So he's going to be my pick in the first-round leader market at 66-1.
Very good. Robert Rock, 66-1 in the first-round leader market is Dave's other selection in the Portugal Masters. Let's talk about maybe some players that you want to highlight that didn't quite make the cut. I've got a couple at massive prices. Gavin Green is one of them.
Right, yeah.
Just because I think he's been in pretty decent form. He's a little bit hit and miss, isn't he, Gavin Green? But he's a... I mean, this course is...
Hits it a long way and misses just, the green.
Yeah, precisely. Yeah, yeah, exactly. But he's been in reasonable form, and I think the setup should suit him. And Sebastian Soderberg, who's played very well on the Challenge Tour, and he's got his playing rights for next season on the European Tour. But he was seventh here last year, and he could go well at three figures, I thought. So a couple maybe to look at 100-1 plus.
Yeah, and at the front end, it's surprising how many of the protagonists have all played the course well before. You think maybe they've not done so well. It's a putting contest. It doesn't really play to their strengths. But Chris Wood's got form. Bjerregaard won it last time. Eddie Pepperell's got form there. Schwartzel's got old form there. Lowry's won this before. They're kind of all there, but they all just look a bit skinny, don't they, at sort of 20s and 18s. Andy Sullivan, another one. He's got cracking form there, 25s. That could be an option. So I think it's quite a decent front end of the market, but they are There's not one that thinks, oh, there's a bit of value in that one for me, anyway.
No, I agree. That's the Portugal Masters. Let's move on to the Tour Championship. The big one this week and the latest betting here with William Hill sees Rory McIlroy shading favouritism at 8-1. Dustin Johnson and Justin Rose both 9-1. 11-1 for Tiger. 12-1 Brooks Koepka. Justin Thomas is 12-1. Bryson DeChambeau is in the betting at 16-1. It's 20-1 Hideki Matsuyama and Ricky Fowler. 22-1 Tony Finau and 25-1 and bigger the rest of them. And it boils down to this. This is for all the marbles. That $10 million bonus is up for grabs with the winner of the FedEx Cup. And the top five in the FedEx Cup have their destiny in their own hands. It's Bryson DeChambeau who's number one, Justin Rose number two, Tony Finau number three, Dustin Johnson fourth in the FedEx Cup race, and Justin Thomas is fifth. I suppose the one name that's the outlier there is Tony Finau, really. How he can, I mean, it shows you his consistency that he's third in the race for the FedEx Cup.
Yeah, obviously the points start to really mean something in the playoffs, and he's got second, fourth and eighth in the three playoff events so far. But yeah, but his only win was actually in Puerto Rico. Yeah. So
it's a bit bizarre, isn't it, that he's third in the race. I'm not saying it as a disservice to Tony Finau, but the other four are all proven big time winners this season, and he's won.
Yeah, he could win this week.
A diddly event in Puerto Rico.
He could win this week, but I'd prefer to back him in a major when he's sort of 50s and higher.
Yeah. Eastlake is once again the host course, has hosted the Tour Championship since its inception back in 2007. Generally provided a real test as well, Dave. It's difficult to accurately pinpoint what makes the course so difficult. It's a classic design, measuring 7,362 yards and playing to a par of 70. And I suppose the main challenge comes when missing fairways. I thought Josh Culp's piece on Roto World was particularly interesting. He highlighted the fact that in the last 5 years at Eastlake, the greens in regulation percentage has been 81% when hitting these from the Zoysia fairways. But when you miss them, the greens in regulation percentage goes down to 44%. So that's a 37% penalty, Josh explains, when missing the fairways at Eastlake. And the tour average is around about 25%. So we often mock people referencing driving accuracy, but it is a factor around this particular golf course.
Yeah, it certainly can be, yeah. I suppose the other way to get out of that is to scramble very, very well indeed, which is another route to success. So ideally, I guess I'm kind of bigging up my play here. You want someone who hits it quite straight, hits a lot of greens, but when he does miss them, he's in hot scrambling form, which absolutely describes my main pick here.
We'll come to that in a few moments' time. Just to talk about course correlation as well, there's a lot of course correlation here. We mentioned the Zoysia fairways. They were used at Bellevue, which hosted the PGA Championship, and Trinity Forest, which hosted the Byron Nelson for the first time this season as well. So a couple of angles in there. Other courses that appear to correlate well: Old TPC White, host of the Greenbrier, and Sedgefield Country Club, which is the host of the Wyndham. How much stock do you put in course correlation when formulating opinion for the Tour Championship?
Sometimes. I don't know. I wouldn't go overboard on it, to be honest. You can go down that line. You can also go down, because I found a strange correlation between how players had done in the Tour Championship, the actual winners, now they performed at TPC Boston.
Yeah.
And that's nothing like it, is it?
No, I think that...
Most of them had done well in that one. So is current form more important than correlating course form? That's maybe...
Yeah, I think so. I think if you're in a purple patch in the playoffs, that can culminate in success at Eastlake, I believe. But then I suppose you've got the top 30, so that's... That's not necessarily causation, is it? Because these players are, most of them are going to be in red hot form in the lead up to the Eastlake, because that's how they've got there.
Yeah, exactly. So by definition, playing on that as well. I think every winner since Snedeker in 2012 had won that season.
Yes,
which is bad for Tiger Woods, obviously, because he hasn't.
Yeah, he's at 11-1. What do you make to Tiger's price? About right? Maybe a shade skinny?
It's the sort of Tiger price, isn't it, if it was someone else.
You think he'd be bigger?
Yeah, I mean, I was tempted to begin with. I think there's some money come for him, hasn't there? I think he was maybe 14s earlier.
He's been pretty well backed.
Yeah. It's a lovely idea to think he'll round off the season with a win, isn't it, after it would sort of complete the comeback.
Yeah.
And part of me wants to be part of that and have a few quid on him, but you can back him in running, of course. But right now at 11s, not really.
I've just got one pick.
I've got two.
Okay, you lead off then.
Yeah, so actually we do have to sort of maybe bring in some of the correlating course angle because my pick, Francesco Molinari, has never played here before.
He's not. We have had first-time winners at Eastlake, haven't we?
It can be done, yeah. So that didn't particularly scare me.
It was done last year, wasn't it, in fact?
Yeah.
Xander Schauffele.
Yeah, exactly. You mentioned Bellerive. Well, he was sixth there. He's won three times basically since the end of May. He won the Wentworth, he won the Quicken Loans, and then he won the Open, obviously. And you would have thought maybe he might have just taken a step back and, you know, he's climbed to the top of the mountain. But two starts later, he gets that six, as we say, at Bellerive. Missed the cut at the Northern Trust, but then he's finished eighth at the BMW last time. Look at his round scores from after sort of okay first round and went 63, 64, 67. Scrambled superbly, 80% scrambling figures, which was ranked third. He was the top scrambler at the Northern Trust, at the PGA Championship. Hits it straight, as we know. Ranked second for greens in reg at the BMW. I think his game is coming right back into form for one last major shot at it. And I don't know whether this is a strange season and whether he's now gone up a level and he'll stay there. But right now, he is absolutely at the pinnacle of his career. Will it stay there? I don't know. But I would happily back him at 25-1 in a 30-man field right now.
Yeah, I think he'll go well. I can see him playing well. It should be a perfect setup for him, shouldn't it, really?
Yeah. I mean, the same price to win the Open.
You look at all these good drivers of the golf ball that have won around Eastlake.
Yeah.
He's one of them, isn't he?
Yeah, I think he's a great fit for it.
Yeah. I'm going with Billy Horschel.
Right.
That's my one selection at 25-1 as well. So we're going head-to-head here with 25-1 picks. We've seen in the playoffs that having decent form in the run-up to Eastlake can translate into success in the Tour Championship. And barring that withdrawal in the Dell Technologies Championship where he had a sinus infection, his other two performances were ties for third at the Northern Trust and the BMW. Got solid form at the Wyndham if you're looking for that course correlation. And he just loves Eastlake. We've got that course form with Billy Horschel. Finished seventh in 2013, won it all in 2014. And his ball striking has just been superb in the playoffs. I still think he offers some value at 25-1 from an each-way perspective. So Billy Horschel, to me, looks rock solid.
Yeah, agree with all that. I'm going to throw in a third 25-1 shot.
Right, okay.
Webb Simpson.
Right, okay.
Won at Sawgrass, Players' Champion, so I like the fact that he's won this year. And some things you've mentioned, the correlation between the Sedgefield, he was runner-up at the Wyndham.
He loves that track,
last
doesn't
month,
he?
Yeah, closed with a 62. He was halfway leader at the Dell Technologies TPC Boss and then just vanished. So that 49th needs a bit of a explaining, to be honest, because I don't know what happened to him there. But
I was watching that. It was just complete. He blew up. He completely capitulated.
I don't know what it was, but you think, oh dear, is something setting in? But then comes out the next week at the BMW Championship, closes with a pair of 65s to finish sixth. So I just think, forget that was a little blip that it happened there. At this course, he's had five goes at it, got a fourth and a fifth, so he's landed the each-way money twice. And at Eastlake last year, he's down there, was tied 13th. Again, he was the 36-hole leader, so I think he's got some great course form. Obviously,
we need a 36-hole leader market, don't we, here?
Yeah, he'd be good at that. But he showed at the Players' Championship that he can go all the way. This is he's won a US Open. I mean, obviously, the putting went south for him for a while and hampered his career, but his putting stats this year have been excellent for most of the year, haven't they? So I thought, again, 25-1 for the Players' Champion, who is in form again, likes the course, just stood out more than some of the sort of bigger names at the top of the market.
Yeah, okay, 25-1 Webb Simpson, Dave's second pick. I must admit, I was tempted by Rory McIlroy this week.
I think he's just on the verge of
walloping
a breakout.
Yeah, sort of. Walloping the field soon.
Yeah,
it might come this week. I think if the putters, if he puts even averagely,
yeah,
I think he could win this week. It suits his game so well because, unlike many other classical tests, it's just there in front of you, Eastleigh. There aren't many dog legs. You can still overpower this golf course, can't you, if you drive the ball very well? And he just drove it. He was just scintillating, wasn't he, at the BMW, put on a clinic tee to green.
Yeah.
Had two impressive rounds with a putter and two absolutely horrible rounds putting at the BMW. But I came very close to going with him. I think he's the one at the top of the market that I fancy most by a distance at 8-1. But just that slight niggling doubt whether he's going to hole enough putts.
Yeah, if we could do a hashtag Your Odds, I would ask for a McIlroy Rose dual forecast.
Would you?
Yeah, I think the prices are sort of individually.
But those are the two that stand out to you at the top.
Yeah, I can easily see those two fighting it out.
Yeah,
for very obvious reasons.
I mean, when you think about Donald Ross designs, you think Justin Rose, don't you? Basically.
Yeah, and he.
He threw that away at Lavonimink, didn't he?
Yeah, well, I was on him, so that was a bit of a gutter. But he's close, isn't he? I think he's got to win again, hasn't he, this year? He's been that good.
I mean, from the middle of the fairway on that 72nd hole, you're thinking, he can't lose.
And he did.
Yeah, I didn't see the second shot into the green there, but he came up like 15 yards short, didn't he? And did he fat it? I didn't. Was it Miss Club? I missed that completely.
I'd been on InPlay Radio, so I was driving home.
Yeah.
So when I got home, I sort of looked at and I thought, oh, he's not hit the green. And then.
Yeah.
So I sort of turned it off in a huff.
Yeah.
But those two.
But that's not a concern to you, though, coming into this week?
No, because I can remember it's quite a number of years ago where he kind of chucked one away and then came out the next week and won.
Yeah.
And his idea was, I'm in form. It's the perfect time to put it right.
Yeah.
So I think it's when players maybe have a bad time and then never get in contention for a while, and then it's sort of not fresh. But he'll know, right, I'm not doing that again. He'll put it right.
Yeah.
Do you think the Ryder Cup being next week will? This is two questions for you. Will have an impact? And the second one, what do you think of the? It controls their destinies angled. I just think it puts more pressure on them.
Yeah, I think that's what we've seen in the past.
Freewheel,
because we've seen so many players outside that top five win it all, haven't we?
Like Bill Haas, it was impossible. I think that was the year when maybe Webb Simpson should have been winning it.
That was bizarre, wasn't it? He was so far down the rankings.
Yeah, he was almost like 29th.
He
had
so
all
much
sorts
to happen.
Of yeah combinations yeah. and permutations. So yeah, I think it's billed as a sort of asset, isn't it, to control your own destiny? But I think it sort of gets in the way of some of them.
Yeah, I agree with you on that point. I don't think the Ryder Cup next week affects what's going to happen this week at Eastleigh.
Right.
What do you mean by that? What do you think? Do you think people? Are you suggesting that some of the players might take their eye off the ball this week, looking forward to next week?
Say somebody's.
There's too much money up for grabs for that, isn't there?
Probably. Say someone's like 12th at halfway, will they start to drift? Or say they're 18th at,
once they can't win, I think it might affect them. But I think
so it rolls out the sort of weekend charge that you might have got.
Perhaps, maybe, yeah. I think if you think you can still win the tournament, though, you're not going to be focusing on the Ryder Cup next week. Yeah.
I suppose the money. Yeah. I know, say like Poulter been playing, he actually was interviewed the other week and said he'd be quite happy to not qualify for this.
I think Poulter's a complete outlier, isn't he? He's a complete exception.
Patrick Reed, for example, this week, would you want to be on him this week when he's sort of saving himself for next week? He's a sort of Poulter for the Americans, isn't he?
I suppose so, yeah. I think Poulter is a complete exception, even comparing Poulter to Reed, because Reed's driven by, ultimately, he's driven by performing for himself, isn't he, Patrick Reed? Whereas Poulter, I think he loves
getting
being part
team,
of the team,
yeah.
being part of that team. Whereas Patrick Reed, I think, wants to be the standout man in a team. Whereas Poulter wants to help the players around him
maybe
win.
Patrick Reed would much rather win a brilliant singles and lose some of the other four balls.
I think he probably would, yeah, in all honesty. Maybe that's being slightly harsh on Patrick Reed. But I put Poulter, the Ryder Cup comes above everything else for Ian Poulter, and I think he's maybe the only player in the game where he'd rather win the Ryder Cup than win a major championship. I think the rest of them would rather have a major championship on the resume than win a Ryder Cup.
Yeah, and by the way, and I mentioned this last week, it's a hashtag future your odds on the Ryder Cup. Patrick Reed to be top US point scorer, Poulter to be top European point scorer, USA to win 66-1.
Right.
Reed's top scored in the last two for them. And you get ties as well, so the joint top scorer, that counts.
Yeah, I'm not... I'm not convinced Poulter's going to have a great Ryder Cup, personally.
Based on?
Just based on the fact that he's outperformed himself in so many Ryder Cups. Mm. There's going to be... I mentioned this before, the last Ryder Cup, where I think he was... I've not had a good look into it yet.
He had a poor time at Glen Eagles, didn't he?
He had a poor time. And I think there's just regression to the mean there with Poulter, that you can't keep on playing much better than your actual level is on a consistent, prolonged basis. So
he's in good form this year, though, isn't he?
Yeah, he's in good form this year. He's played well this year. Do you think he'd get five games, Poulter?
He'll be lobbying for it, won't he? More than any other player.
I'm not sure he'll get five. I don't think he'll get five games.
He might miss one.
I'd be amazed if he got five.
Yeah, but if he's brilliant in the first, maybe, yeah.
If he's brilliant on the first day and wins both points, he might get a couple of outings second day. I'm looking, can't wait for it, can you?
Talk about this next week,
won't
we?
Yeah, we will. Thank you, Mr. Tindall. That just about wraps us up. Let's recap the selections for this week. Dave?
Yes, so in Portugal, I'll go a point each way, Jorge Campeão at 50-1.
Yep.
And in the first round leader market, Robert Roch, a point each way at 66-1.
Yeah, I'm going in the Portugal Masters, point each way on both, Pechara Kongwat Mai at 80-1 and Mikko Korhonen at 66-1. Tour Championship?
Yeah, I'll go a point and a half each way at 25-1 on both Webb Simpson and Francesco Molinari.
I'll join you as far as the staking is concerned. Point and a half each way on Billy Horschel at 25-1 for me. Dave, thank you for your company.
Thanks, Dave.
You can follow Mr. Tindall on Twitter at Dave Tindall Golf. You can follow myself at D Kellner. We will be back next week for the big one, the 2018 Ryder Cup in Paris. Looking forward to assessing that with Dave next week. Make sure you get your bets on for the Portugal Masters and the Tour Championship here this week with William Hill. And if you're having a bet, the very best of luck.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.